You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and with me is my pal, Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, this is our first episode together in a little bit. How are you doing?
To quote Chris Farley from the Secret Coffee replacement sketch, angry.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely have a lot to get to about MLB and the Players Union and Rob Manfred and all that good stuff. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Dodgers Zoom party that had been postponed with the 88 team that finally happened, and then a video released by a group of black baseball player, MLB players. So before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car, or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. Okay, Jeff, so I know you didn't get to watch it, but the Dodgers had the Zoom party with members of the 1988 team. It was originally scheduled for 2 weeks ago, I believe, and then, you know, with everything going on in the real world, the Dodgers postponed it a couple times. I was able to watch it, so I'll give a quick rundown. It was Oral Hershiser kind of leading it. Alana and Joe were on, but they were mostly quiet for the most part. Oral was leading it. There was Mike Socha, Mickey Hatcher, Franklin Stubbs, Kirk Gibson, Steve Sachs, Mike Marshall, John Shelby, and Jay Howell. Jay Howell was on the 88 team, right?
Yeah, he was. He got ejected from game three or sometime in the postseason.
Okay, so yeah, it was those guys. And basically, it was just them. And Fred Clair was also there.
Okay.
And then John Fogerty made a special appearance.
Huh.
Yeah, so it was cool. It was basically just Oral asking the guys to tell stories from that team. And, you know, none of the stories were too crazy, I believe. Jay Howell did he get ejected for Pintar in the World Series, or was that during the regular season?
Yeah, no, it was in the World Series.
Okay, yeah. So, and Oral Hershiser joked that he had more Pintar in his hand than Howell did in his glove, but they just didn't catch him. But yeah, none of the stories were too crazy. You know, the fact of Kirk Gibson kind of setting the tone early on. You know, he was kind of joking that the team was a bunch of, you know, goofballs, and he had to set them straight a little bit. And everyone just kind of shared stories here and there. It was just cool. Like, you know, it was cool because it's basically, you know, just a bunch of guys that won a championship together, all kind of kicking it. And you feel like, you know, maybe like, we could more relate, maybe some of us, to like high school or even little league or even college if you played, if you had a team and you kind of just meet up for a barbecue or something, just kind of and shoot the shit. Excuse my language, but yeah, that's kind of how it was. It was fun to watch. It was pretty good, and a little bit of technical difficulties. I don't know if the person running the Zoom on the Dodger side kept trying to play videos, but they weren't telling the guys that the videos were going to play, so then the guys were kind of talking over the videos. It was a little weird on that sense, but the fact that they got all those guys together on Zoom and none of the real difficulty seemed to be on their side, that's pretty impressive nonetheless.
Did Mike Marshall have anything interesting to say?
No, he probably spoke the least of anyone, and I don't even remember exactly what he said, but yeah, he didn't have much to say. But I think the overall theme of these guys and this team was basically like family and, you know, heart and basically everything we've heard about them already, how, you know, they weren't expected to win. They've had people tell them they didn't deserve to win. I know John Shelby said he sees A's fans all the time and they always tell him, you know, you guys shouldn't have been there. You guys didn't deserve to win. And then he said, I quiet them pretty easily by just asking them if they want to see my ring. So
yeah, I know Dave Stewart is still salty about losing that World Series, you know, because they won in 89, but they lost in 88 and 90 to teams that they were probably better than. And yeah, so it, Dave Stewart's salty tears are one of my favorite things. So I'm glad A's fans are that way too.
Yeah, so it was fun. I'm not sure if they're gonna do another like Zoom meeting still with the Dodgers or not. I would assume they're all waiting to try to get to play. But yeah, I'll let you kind of talk on the other point we had, which was the video released by a group of Black MLB players, including David Price and Mookie Betts, just kind of sharing a message, I guess you would say.
Yeah, I was surprised at how many of the players I had to strain to recognize. You're used to seeing guys in their baseball uniforms and outside uniform, and like Matt Kemp definitely had his quarantine hairdo going on. Looked like he hasn't hit the barber lately. Matt Kemp was in it, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, there was definitely a guy with Matt Kemp's face, but much longer hair. So I assume that was Matt Kemp. Yeah, but, you know, Howie Kendrick was there. Prince Fielder was in there. So it was active and, you know, whatever Prince Fielder is and whatever Matt Kemp is that aren't active ball players. But, yeah, they were just standing together and making the point. I think it was actually Mookie Betts who said the line, it's time for you to stand with us. And basically just making the point that Black Lives Matter, which is obviously an important point to make. And I thought it was really cool to see them united. Andrew McCutchen, he only had one or two lines, but he was very forceful, you know, and McCutchen's always been a passionate guy, a guy I really admire. He's a guy who, even on the Giants, I remember he had a walk-off home run against the Dodgers. It was like a 15, I think, oh, it was the game that Wilmer Font pitched like five innings in relief for the Dodgers, and McCutchen ended up hitting a walk-off homer. And even though it was the Giants walking off against the Dodgers, because it was McCutchen, all I could do was just kind of smile and shake my head. You know, I've always really liked Andrew McCutchen, and he's a leader. You can tell in that video and just in what he does. That guy is a born leader. David Price and Mookie Betts, like you said, it was good to see them, especially Mookie. Mookie doesn't talk a lot, you know? And so I was glad to see Mookie in the video and all of them just standing together. And it wasn't a divisive video. It was, I don't even know how to explain it. You know, I'm a white guy. I have a hard time putting these things into words sometimes, but, you know, they were calling on all of us to be part of this with them. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And yeah, like I said, not divide, a little different or a lot different than the video released by the NFL players. This one was more, you know, trying to get basically the fans on their side. You know, for the most part, NFL players kind of have the fans and everyone on their side. MLB players have in general never really had that, let alone Black MLB players. So, you know, they're trying to start it. And I hope it's something that blends into, if there is a season or whatever we get forward, where these guys can feel comfortable to speak up. We've seen a lot of things from the baseball side the last few weeks with everything going on. You know, these guys have always felt that they've had to be silent in order to kind of keep the baseball season going or focus on baseball. And we've seen in other sports players start speaking up. So I hope it starts happening in MLB too. And, you know, like I said, I tweeted this out. Baseball has a lot of things to fix right now on a few fronts. But hopefully this can be one of those fronts that also changes once we get back to it.
Yeah, I am a firm believer that everyone should feel free to speak up on issues that are important to them. Doesn't mean everybody has to agree at the end of the day, but I think if we're going to get to a place of mutual respect and actual communication and problem solving, the first step is people being free and willing to speak their mind and actually share their viewpoints and allow themselves to disagree peacefully and be disagreed with peacefully.
Yep, well said. All right, we're going to come back and talk, and probably Jeff will be about as mad as he gets, so stick around.
It's going to be my job application for Commissioner of Baseball is what it's going to be.
But before we hear that, let's talk a little bit about rockauto.com. There's an increasing number of makes and models, and it's hard to get all the parts you need in your traditional storefront, traditional chains. When you can just go to rockauto.com and everything's right there, you can find all the parts that you need at pretty great prices. The difference between chain stores and rockauto.com is that chain stores, they have different price tiers for mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com, the prices are the same and low for everybody. It's a family business that's been serving customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts, to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. When they ask, how'd you hear about us? Make sure to put Locked On in the box. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right, before we get into the discussion, just a reminder that the Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. You can also make your own donation along with us at lockedonpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. All right, Jeff. I feel like we're going to have a lot to talk about, so we can pass on the obscure former Dodger for today and just get right into it. Just a few days ago, June 10th, Rob Manfred said that he 100% believes there would be a 2020 season. Just on Monday, Rob Manfred said that he's not 100% sure that there's going to be a season in 2020, and basically said, putting it on the players' union, that they're not negotiating in good faith. The players' union responded to that and says players are disgusted that after Rob Manfred unequivocally told players and fans that there would 100% be a 2020 season, he has decided to go back on his word and is now threatening to cancel the entire season. Any implication that the Players Association has somehow delayed progress on health and safety protocols is completely false, as Rob has recently acknowledged the parties are very, very close. This latest threat is just one more indication that Major League Baseball has been negotiating in bad faith since the beginning. This has always been about extracting additional pay cuts from players, and this is just another day and another bad faith tactic in their ongoing campaign. Jeff, those are some strong words from MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark. You may have some stronger words.
Yeah, and let me start by saying I'm not a fan of Tony Clark. I think Tony Clark is pretty bad at his job. I think part of the reason the players are in the predicament they're in is because Tony Clark has gotten steamrolled in the last one or two CBA negotiations. So I'm not taking Tony Clark's side because I like Tony Clark. I'm taking Tony Clark's side in this case because he's right. And the fact is, Rob Manfred is a liar who doesn't care about baseball, apparently. And, you know, Trevor Bauer, I know Trevor Bauer is, I hate the word problematic, so I'll say it with air quotes, but I know there are plenty of things to not like about Trevor Bauer. He had a really good thread on Twitter basically laying out exactly what Rob Manfred is doing, that he's delaying right now because basically the players called his bluff. The players said, okay, tell us when to play. That's what the players said. They said, we're ready to play. Tell us when and where, and we'll be there. And the problem is it's only June 16th right now. It was only June 12th or 13th when they said that. And the problem is there's plenty of time to get in half a season, even with the spring training. And so by the players calling Manfred's bluff on that, what they're doing is if Manfred was to say, okay, we are starting the season, well, he'd have no excuse to not do a full half a season. And that would mean paying the players for half a season. So Manfred wants to have a 50-game season, but he can't implement a 50-game season in mid-June when there's still time for an 80-game season. And so, as Bauer called him out on, what Manfred's doing is just stalling. He is stalling right now so that they can go back and forth and back and forth, so that by the time Manfred finally throws up his hands and says, okay, I guess I'll just demand to start the season, there's only time for 50 games, which is what he wanted to do in the first place. And I hate to tell you this, Rob Manfred, but we're not freaking idiots. We know what you're doing. Trevor Bauer knows what you're doing. Even Jim Bowden knew what you were doing. Maybe he just follows Trevor Bauer because Jim Bowden's not super smart. But it's so transparent to everybody. And the bottom line is what is happening right now is Rob Manfred's fault and the owner's fault. And it is bad for baseball, bad for baseball fans, bad for everyone, including the owners. And that's the part. I'm going to let you talk for a minute, Vince. But in a minute, I'm going to yell some more about how short-sighted and stupid the owners are being for their own bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. And the thing from the MLB side is, you know, they have to see all this PR is not going their way. They have to see that, you know, every one of their proposals that they've come out with have basically spent the same amount of money, just worded differently. You know, here's $10. Do you want a 5 and 5 ones? Do you want 2 5s? Do you want 10 ones? Do you want, you know, 9 ones and 4 quarters? Like, that's basically how they're splitting it up and presenting it. And they're expecting the players, they're expecting the union, they're expecting us as fans to not see that. And it's, you know, pretty clear the players have been pretty stuck in their stance of the no prorated. You know, they're not going to take any cuts from the prorated that was negotiated. You know, the back and forth of that's already been prominent, of whether that was with fans or without fans when it was first negotiated. But regardless of the point is that, you know, one side is trying to negotiate and one side is not. And that's where we're at right now. And the owners, like I said, the owners are looking bad. Baseball's looking bad. You know, at the very least, I guess the positive part is people are starting to realize that the players, you know, are not at fault. The players actually have, you know, they're standing their ground and everything else. But yeah, like I said, it's going to come down to the owners, and it's just a bad look overall. And I'm still of the belief that they're going to work it out, but I don't know, man. I'm optimistic as anyone, and it just seems like who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm not giving up, but yeah, I'm pessimistic right now, more than I've been at all. And the problem is, back in March, the players apparently thought that they were working with the league to do what was best for the game of baseball, and the owners thought they were negotiating. And so the players went straight to a fair compromise. The players could have pushed legally for, you know what, you have to pay us the whole amount that we're contracted for. You know, Mike Trout, his contract says you are going to pay him $33 million in 2020 or whatever, however much it is. It doesn't say as long as we don't have a global pandemic, we'll pay you $33 million. It says we'll pay you $33 million. The players could have pushed for their full salaries even if no games were played. But what the players did was compromise. They said, you know what? We think the fair solution is you only have to pay us for the games we actually play. And that is a fair solution. But the problem is they got there too soon. And so now ownership thinks that, you know, I've talked about this before. I won't belabor the point, but if you try to sell a baseball card on eBay and you list the card at $200 and somebody offers you $100, and when you list it at $200, you knew you were going to be willing to sell it for $150. But if somebody offers you $100, and you come back with $150 because that's the fair price, guess what? They're going to come back at $120, you know, and you're not going to get your $150. And that's what I hate about all this, that it's negotiations that nobody is thinking about, okay, what's good for baseball? And if anybody is thinking about that, it's nobody on the ownership side. Rob Manfred doesn't care. The owners don't care. And I still didn't get to my point about the owners being short-sighted, but I'm conscientious about the fact that I've been talking for a long time. So I'm going to get there, Vince, but what else you got?
I believe in you. Yeah, yeah. I think the other point for me is just Manfred's point was that if they impose a shorter season or whatever, then the union's going to come back and file a grievance, like you said, like you mentioned with Bauer's point. And it's like, well, yeah, obviously, like, if you don't see how that's an issue, that you know are going to impose a shorter season in order to not pay the players as much, then, you know, obviously they're going to have grounds to file that grievance. And, you know, this has nothing to do with the 2020 season, but, you know, over the weekend the news broke that Turner and MLB kind of came to agreement on a deal for the future of the playoffs. You know, they're continuing in the billion, you know, in the billions range. And, you know, the revenue from the playoffs is basically what the owners are banking on, because the revenue from the regular season is not going to really happen without fans. So, like, I'll let this segue into your point of, first off, if there's no season this year, then there's none of that playoff revenue. Yeah, you're not playing the players, but you're also not going to get any of the money that you thought you were going to get in the first place. So I'll let that segue into your point about the owners being short-sighted.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's this year and it's next year. The Dodger Stadium holds 56,000 people. Dodgers average, what have they been averaged, like 44,000 a game or something? It's a lot of fans. Well, guess what? You don't fill a stadium 81 times a year with only the diehards. The fact is, Vince, you and I, we're stupid. Whenever baseball comes back, we are going to be there watching it. But there aren't enough people like you and me to fill Dodger Stadium 81 times a year. And it's even worse in other cities where the fans aren't as passionate. You know, the Marlins draw. I went to 3 Marlins games 2 years ago, 3 games in 1 week. I think the most crowded one had 10,000 people there. Well, guess what? If you spend all of 2020 saying, you know what, guys, I know it's a global pandemic, but F you. We don't care about you. We don't care about anything but our wallets. Guess what? Even those 10,000 fans aren't going to show up in Miami. Nobody's going to drive across the bridge in Tampa to get to that crappy stadium if they think that nobody cares about them. And so you're going to see a drop in attendance that's going to hurt the bottom line. The fact is, every owner, it would cost each team somewhere between, depending on whose numbers you believe, and I don't know which one's right, but somewhere between $15 and $35 million per team to bridge the gap between the owner's proposal and the player's proposal right now. $35 million, let's say worst case scenario, it's going to cost you $35 million. You will make that up in droves just next year. There's no guarantee of profitability for a business owner, but being a baseball owner is about as close as you can get. As long as there is a season, you're going to make money. And so the only way that owners wouldn't make up that $35 million bucks that they would lose this year is if they drive the game off a cliff, if they murder the game or make it that nobody wants to come. Guess what? If the Dodgers only draw 2 million fans next year instead of almost 4 million, that hurts a lot more than $35 million right now. If the Marlins attendance goes from, you know, 1.5 million down to 500,000, guess what? That sucks. They still have that nice, fancy new stadium that nobody's going to go to. And you know, that's kind of the extreme ends, the Dodgers, the Marlins. But every team this applies to, the only way that owners would not make up the money they lose is if they're freaking idiots like they're being right now and they explode the game, which they're trying to do.
Now, I saw a tweet that was going around. Well, first off, you know, the Cardinals guy said that there's not a lot of profit in baseball. And then someone else said something similar to that extent, one of the owners or something. But it's that, you know, the Marlins, like I said, don't average that many fans. Yet they were still able to offer one of the richest contracts ever. And when they did sell, they had a bunch of people trying to buy it. You know, these people are business people. They're not trying to buy things that aren't going to make them money. So, you know, obviously having a baseball team is profitable to a certain extent. And, you know, other than clout and all that kind of stuff. So for the owners to sit this way and let all this happen, you know, I think I don't know what exactly what laurels they're resting on or what they think is going to happen. But like you said, I think, you know, maybe the Dodgers might be able to still be decent enough fan wise, but a lot of teams aren't going to do it. And we just saw, you know, most people saw the McGuire and Sosa documentary and how, you know, that baseball, that was the summer that baseball climbed a little bit out of what had fallen in after the strike in 94. And I don't know if it'll be similar to that if there's no baseball in 2020. I don't know if it'll be to that extent. But it's going to make it very rocky ground with the upcoming CBA and a potential lockout when that goes down. So, you know, baseball is at a point where it could have grown and it could have, you know, with all the young talent and everything going on right now, it could have been a perfect time for baseball to get back into national prominence, national pastime. and they're just fumbling it all over, and I'm not sure if it's going to be able to recover in the next 5-10 years.
Yeah, and it'll take a long time if they really do what they're trying to do right now. It'll take a long time for it to recover. I'm old enough to remember the 94 strike really well. And yeah, it did take a long time to recover, and some people never came back. There's still people I talk to who say, yeah, I didn't really get back into baseball after 94. You know, and they weren't the diehards like you and I, but you need those other people. I want to read one last thing that I saw on Twitter. It's a tweet from Alex Coffey, who writes about the A's for The Athletic. And he said, a former senior MLB employee shares some insights on Rob Manfred's background, how it can inform what we're seeing right now. And it says, Rob came up through a legal track in a law firm. I'll compare a legal firm to a typical corporation where you've got hundreds, if not thousands, of employees who care about corporate culture. In that sort of corporation, you're going to have all hands meetings and talk about corporate goals and pull in the same direction. That's not how a law firm works. A law firm is, I've got 8 clients, a couple partners that work with these clients. I've got 10 associates, and we're going to get this thing done. We're going to be here until midnight or all night, and you can bitch and moan, but that's how we're going to get work done. He grew up in that environment. He sits across the labor table for most of his baseball career, negotiating to get stuff done, and hurting people's feelings is not a factor in his life. In fact, he might make your life uncomfortable to get what he wants to get done. I think it takes a certain people come up through the ranks and say, I can't do this anymore. I don't like this. And Rob is more like, I love this. I'm going to beat you. That's where he is right now today. And that's the problem. The guy running the sport, the commissioner of baseball, is a guy who cares more about winning his legal battles than he cares about the game of baseball. And this is when you really realize Tony Clark works for the players. Rob Manfred works for the owners. There is nobody involved in this process whose job is actually to care about what's best for baseball. And that's why all of us fans, the people who keep the sport running, yes, the players are the product, but there is no product if nobody's paying to see it. And there's not a single person involved in this process whose job is to care what we think. And honestly, I should be commissioner of baseball. I have the experience of actually running a business that actually was successful because it actually built loyal customers by having good customer service and caring about our customers. And guess what? It grew really big and made a lot of people a lot of money, because the way to make a lot of money for an owner is to have a company that people want to do business with. And Major League Baseball is trying its best to be a company that nobody wants to do business with. And the people who you need doing business with is us, the fans. And so somebody needs to start caring what the fans think. And it needs to be me. Hashtag Jeff for commissioner. I know all you 30 owners are listening. Call me 801-592-1948. I'm ready to take over right now and shove it up Rob Manfred's butt.
And we will leave it on that note. Hashtag Jeff for commissioner. We'll get that trending tomorrow. Or today, as you guys are listening. So thank you all for listening to Locked On Dodgers. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about something related to Dodgers and baseball. I'm not quite sure exactly what, but we'll be here to talk about it. Remember, you can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Apple preferred, if you have the means to do so. Rate and review us on there as well. Tell your friends, tell your family. Make sure you're downloading and listening every day after you've already subscribed. If you want to follow us on social media, we're on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-5625. Or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball, or just tell it to play this episode again. Just listen to this one all day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!